love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Holly, there's no use trying to get a taxi in this crowd. We might as well wait in the lobby.
Oh, every time I come to the theater without Ned, this happens.
You're spoiled, darling.
I'm not spoiled at all, Claire. I keep Ned's house for him. The least he can do is call me taxi. Oh, look at that snow coming down. We'll never get home at this rate. But we did see a good show, didn't we? Oh, I was on the stage every minute with those beautiful young people.
You were in the chorus once, weren't you?
Oh, I was never as good as those youngsters tonight.
But I do know what they're going through.
Oh, that's where Ned found me.
And you've always symbolized glamour for him.
Oh, nonsense. I was the worst dancer in the line, and he knew it. But I have made a good home for him.
Claire, the snow is getting worse, and we'll just wait. Tony's on his way to Paris tonight.
In this?
Oh, the planes are flying.
You checked?
I wanted to be sure he'd gone.
How long will he be gone?
A couple of weeks.
Weeks? That doesn't sound like Tony.
Hugh sent him as a favor to me.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I don't ask Hugh for many things. He likes my company. He thinks I'm smart enough to talk to, so once in a while I ask him for a little favor.
Why in the world would you want him to send Tony off like this? You never have to see Tony unless you want to.
I don't want to see Tony. I want to see his new girl.
Kate?
Well, that is a surprise.
Why?
I want to know her. What she's after.
I wouldn't say she was after anything. She's rather unusual, Claire.
Well, she's not good for Tony. He certainly could find another girl without a past like Kate's, all that involvement with drugs.
That was her husband, not Kate herself.
Does it matter? It's the last thing Tony needs.
Claire, have you ever thought Tony might be in love?
Oh, I'm sure he told her that. But Tony would come back to me in a minute if I would have him. Holly, the crowd's thinning. I think we can get a cab now.
Can I give you ladies a lift?
Oh, Ned, am I glad to see you, darling. Where did you come from?
Well, my meeting was over a little earlier than I expected. I thought you might be stuck downtown. Well, how are you, Claire? Looking superb, as always.
Thank you, darling. Holly was getting nervous, but I thrive on emergencies.
Oh, the car's right down the block.
Well, what a dutiful husband.
No, I just hate walking into an empty apartment.
Well, just drop me off and I won't keep you two apart.
Oh, not in your life. I'm taking you glamour girls to supper.
See what you do to men, Claire.
Once, maybe, but I'm not interested in games anymore. I'd rather go home, thank you, Ned.
I'm not sorry to be home myself, Holly.
Neither am I tonight. Yes. I was afraid Claire would accept your offer.
Yeah, she didn't sound like herself.
She was in a strange mood.
You enjoyed the show,
Oh,
huh?
I did. But nothing seemed to please Claire. It was almost as if she resented all those young people.
Well, a woman can't live the kind of life Claire lives without showing it.
Claire can live any life she wants.
Oh, I'm not so sure she can, Holly. Human being has to care for something. We're made that way.
Claire likes what she does. She adores parties and going out and new clothes. It never bothers her to be alone.
Yeah, I wonder.
Are you being profound?
Claire's waging a perpetual war with herself. But she'll never admit it.
Do you think she's still in love with Tony?
I think it's deeper than that, Holly. I think Claire once sold herself the idea that being free, totally liberated, was the most important thing in the world. That love was an evidence of weakness. She didn't need it. Now she doesn't know how to find it.
If that's true, it's tragic.
Certainly it's tragic.
Do you think she wants Tony back?
Oh, how could he go back? She'd make life hell for him. Tony isn't complicated. He's ambitious, but he's a rather simple, straightforward guy.
Ned, do you know he's on his way to Paris tonight?
He gave me a ring.
Oh, you're always in touch with him, aren't you?
Sure. He'll be back in a few days.
Claire said 2 weeks. While he's gone, she intends to see Kate.
You can see that coming.
Oh, I'd like to take Kate up to the country for a week.
No use, Holly. If Claire's going to break that up, you can't stop it.
I feel so sorry for Kate.
Oh, the one I feel sorry for is Claire. She's on a road she can't turn off.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Trudy, come in.
Oh, thanks.
Wow, you look soaked.
Oh, boy. Nothing that the abominable snowman couldn't handle.
Here, let me get your coat.
Oh, gee, Kate, I'm sorry to break in on you at this hour. But this is as far as I got.
You've been up on campus tonight?
Oh, would you believe a lecture on the origins of underwater mammals?
No.
Well, that was it. How did I know I was going to join the species before I got home?
Well, I hope you're going to stay here with me.
Well, I have a standing offer from Jeff to use his room whenever he's away. You know, he never offers it when he's here.
Just the same, I'd like to see him around.
I'll go see if he has any blankets on his bed. Mrs. Link gave me the key.
Oh, Trudy, I'd like to come with you.
Oh, sure, come on.
He lent me his tape recorder once. I don't think he'd mind if I used it again.
Well, why would he? He usually leaves his door unlocked, but this time Mrs. Link said she would not be responsible, so she locked it. Now, here we are. Would you look at that?
Neat as a pin.
Mm.
This isn't Jeff.
No, one dirty sneaker or an old sock would have made me feel happier. Hey, there's your tape recorder. What are you going to do with it?
Let's go. I'll tell you. Oh, Trudy. I'm glad you're here to talk to. Tony's left for Paris.
Paris? Oh, that was sudden.
He's flying through this weather tonight. I've been listening to the weather reports.
And here I'm worrying about a kid who didn't leave his dirty socks around.
Here we are. Let's go in my room. Trudy, Tony's asked me not to see Stephen Wolfe again.
Oh, I'm glad somebody did.
Well, I can't avoid him. There's no way. He won't stop harassing me until he gets the information he wants.
But you haven't got it.
All I can do is give him that letter I found up on Gull Island, which tells him nothing.
Well, that should end it, though.
Well, I'm afraid it won't. There's that tape recording of Tom's voice.
Yeah.
Trudy, listen. I want to read the letter to you again and then listen to that tape again.
All right.
You'll see what a jam I'm in.
Go ahead, honey.
Okay, now this is the letter Tom wrote. Dear Stephen, I owe you a lot. I told you about my business in Jamaica and what there was there for you. But the best thing I can do for you now is not to involve you in my mistakes. The information you want could only bring you where it has brought me. I ask one favor. Protect Kate. She will need it.
Oh, Kate. I don't think I got that whole picture the first time you showed me that letter. Tom's business was drug traffic, wasn't it?
Well, I have to believe that now. Okay, now this is a tape recording or a copy of it that Stephen made of a meeting with Tom. You'll hear Tom's voice.
Yeah.
It's there, Steve, waiting. Worth a fortune. I'm going back. But if anything happens, I don't make it. I'll leave a letter for you, where it is. Kate knows about it. She can help you.
What do you think that means, Kate?
Well, Stephen is sure of what it means. Tom hid a large amount of cocaine somewhere down in the Caribbean, and Stephen intends to find it. Trudy, I know nothing about it.
Well, you've told him that.
He doesn't believe me. I told Stephen I'd meet him tomorrow.
Let me go with you.
Oh, he insists on meeting me alone. I don't like to admit being scared, but this time I am.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Well, ladies, well, gentlemen, what think you of what just has come to pass? It bears repetition, surely, for those of you who could not believe your ears. Sir Pitt Crawley to Miss Becky Sharp.
Come back as Lady Crawley, Becky. Come back and be me wife.
Oh, Sir Pitt. Dear Sir Pitt, I can't. I can't.
Can't? Can't? Well, what's to stop you, me confounded sister?
No, no.
Well, what then, damn it?
I am already married.
No sooner was that confession out of Becky's mouth than with all her heart she wished it unsaid. The secret marriage secret no longer. Observant listeners will have noted that Becky did not name her husband married but last night. Captain Rawdon Crawley, Sir Pitt's son. Now then, Sir Pitt has been prostrate on his knees, but upon Becky's avowal, he bounded to his feet. Now it is Becky on her knees. Becky, think of it, pleading in humility.
Oh, Sir Pitt, I beg you, I implore, I entreat you to tell no one the secrets I have trusted to you.
Marriage? Marriage? By gad, who'd have thought it?
All your kindness and generosity to me extorted my secret, but no one else can know.
Kindness be hanged, generosity be damned. Who is it you married? Who?
I can tell you no more. Please, please don't ask.
No need to ask. 'Tis that soldier fellow you told Matilda of. It's him, ain't it? Answer me, girl.
Yes, Gordy. I married Gordy.
And the fellow's left you, has he?
Left me?
The rascal's run off. Admit it.
Oh, yes. Yes, he's left me.
Ah, the bloody fool. Married to Becky Sharp and... Oh, fools, both of you.
Yes, yes, admit it. All of it, admit it. Oh, Sir Pitt, you'll not tell Miss Crawley.
Why not, won't I tell her? Look what you've done to me.
Oh, dear, Sir Pitt, when I think of what you just offered me, my heart fills with gratitude, indeed it does. I can't be your wife, but let me be your daughter.
Daughter? Don't want no daughter. Want a wife.
If you wanted me for wife, surely your affection will help me now. Don't, pray, don't tell Miss Crawley. You forgive me. I know you do, but she never will. Oh, sir, I've confessed my marriage. Now I'll confess all. I, like you, hope Miss Crawley will remember me in her will.
So, that's it. Might have known.
And won't hold it against me. Surely you understand.
Oh, Becky, Becky, understand well enough when it's money. But this folly of a marriage, understand that? Money you want, but you marry an army private without a shilling to his name. Where's your good sense? What came over you?
Love. Oh, why ever did I fall in love?
And him gone off, left you married with no husband.
You won't tell Miss Crawley?
I don't know what I'll do. Don't know. I'm all in a quandary like you. Thought you'd be Lady Crawley, and now, oh, Becky, Becky, what have you went and done?
Miss Crawley?
So, am I to congratulate the happy, happy couple?
Call to mind, dear listeners, that Sir Pitt's proposal was overheard by eavesdropping Miss Briggs, but by great good luck, not Becky's answer. The proposal was scarcely out of the baronet's mouth. Then Miss Briggs rushed upstairs to inform Miss Crawley, who just as speedily has rushed down the stairs to find Becky on her knees, the picture of pathos.
Well, 'tis the lady on the floor, not the gentleman. I was told you were on your knees, Sir Pitt. Do kneel once more and let me see the pretty sight.
Oh, Miss Crawley, I have thanked Sir Pitt and told him I can never become Lady Crawley.
What? Refuse him?
Yes, refuse.
I cannot credit my ears. Pitt, did you indeed propose to her?
Yes, did. And don't give a brass farthing what you think.
And she did indeed refuse you?
Damn it all, she did.
An old man of your station falling on his knees to a penniless governess. A penniless governess refusing a baronet with £40,000 a year. It surpasses even the best French novel.
Who'd have thought it? What a sly little fox she is.
Who'd have thought what?
Never you mind.
Oh, thank you, Sir Pitt. Thank you.
Pray in a shop. Are you waiting for the Prince Regent's divorce that you don't think our family good enough for you?
When you came in, Miss Crawley, did my attitude on my knees look as if I despised such an honor as Sir Pitt has deigned to offer me? Had you both been so kind to this poor orphan, and I to feel nothing? My heart is full of gratitude.
Then why did you refuse him?
I had my reasons.
Your reasons be damned. You've made a fool of me. But I'm your friend. Your friend, you know that now. Good morning to you both. I can bear no more of this.
Good riddance. And close the door, you old fool of a little rooster. Now then, Becky Sharp. Reasons. What reasons, pray?
Dear Miss Crawley, you know as well as I. Sir Pitt's station in life is too far above me, and his aid, oh, it wouldn't be seemly. And could a girl with any decency even listen to such a proposal barely 3 days after the funeral of Lady Crawley?
Fiddlesticks, my dear. You don't care a fig for such high-flown reasons. They'd not stop Becky Sharp for one instant. A pity something else did, for you'd have made a good Lady Crawley. You've brains aplenty, more wit than most, and your manners are excellent.
Thank you, Miss Crawley. You're most kind.
Not kind facts are facts, and let us have more facts. You'd have married Pitt like a shot out of a cannon, but for those private reasons. Tell me the true ones at once.
I can't. I can't.
Then I shall guess. Oh, you little goose. You still are in love with Private Gordon. Though he's gone off and left you, still you hope he'll return to your arms.
I won't say yes. I won't say no.
Oh, my poor girl, your passion unrequited. All this while since he left you, you've been pining away in secret, is it not so?
I cannot answer.
There is more to this than you've told me.
A secret I cannot tell.
Now, tell me and let me console you.
Oh, how I wish I could.
Come, have we not always had truth between us?
Please, please don't ask me now. Soon you shall know all. Indeed you shall. Oh, dear, kind Miss Crawley, dear friend, may I say friend?
You may say more, child. Have I not vowed you're like a daughter to me? A dear daughter whose heart is breaking. Now, I mean to help you. That wretched Gordy left you, no doubt, because you have no dowry. Oh. You shall have one, supplied by me, and shall marry the master of your heart.
Oh.
And when this wretched war is over, I shall set him up in business. Come, Becky, smile. We shall have a wedding after all.
Oh, Miss Crawley, you are so good, and I am so miserable. Love me always. Promise you'll love me always. Even when the secret is known.
Dear, artless, tender-hearted, affectionate, incomprehensible little protégé, you have my very promise.
Reprieved, our Becky. But for how long? What web of lies she has spun, and Miss Crawley, confident all is truth. But why? Why did Becky tell Sir Pitt of her marriage? In the course of this history, never before have we seen her lose her presence of mind. Will we see her also lose all she has striven for? Return tomorrow, dear listeners, to your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Vanity Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Catherine Balfour portrays Miss Crawley. Rhina Rayburn, Giles. Francis Bethencourt, Sir Pitt. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Mother, Daddy's home.
I am not only home, but I have brought the pictures we took Christmas.
Oh. Brought home what?
Snapshots, pictures, ones we took at Christmas.
Oh, how are they?
Let me see them.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get my coat off.
Well, it'll be a nice day. Don't hang your father's coat up. Maybe you'll get in practice.
I hung my coat up when I came in.
Ah, no, you didn't. You threw it on the bench, and I, as usual, hung it up. Mm-hmm. And Maggie? Bob brought the pictures home. How'd they turn out, dear?
Oh, great. Just great, Gilly. They're good of everybody.
Oh, marvelous.
Except the ones of me.
Oh.
I'm not too crazy about those.
And I haven't set the dining room table yet. Come on, spread them out on the table so we can all look at them.
The ones of you are really all good. A couple of them are really just excellent.
Really? Good. Usually that takes a terrible picture, really.
You always say that, but I don't think so. Anyhow, you'll like these.
Are there any good ones there of me? Clark wants a picture.
They're all good of you, Debbie. Good of Aunt Maggie. Here, look at this one of Mother and Dad with Aunt Maggie.
Oh, isn't that good? Yes, let me see the others.
Now, wait a minute. Let me spread them out here.
Oh, here's one of Aunt Maggie with just your mother. That's marvelous. Oh, that is a good one. Oh, I'm glad we got some good shots of Aunt Maggie. She's been just dying to send some home to her friends in Montana.
Oh, this is awful of me. Look at my hair.
Let me see.
Where?
Oh, I think that's cute. Your hair looks fine.
Oh.
Where are the ones of me?
Here. Move a little. Let me spread them out. That's it.
This is good? You think this is good of me?
Well, let me see.
Is terrible.
No, I don't think so. What's wrong with it?
To everything. Why, I hate it. You honestly think this is a good picture of me?
Yeah.
Really?
This one's good of you, Mom. It's very good.
Let me see. Oh, that is even worse.
Oh, I agree with Daddy. You're just too fussy.
Well, I'm not any fussier than anybody else is about their pictures.
You just don't like that one because you're smiling. You always hate smiling pictures.
I don't look as though I've got any teeth.
Oh, this one's good of you, Daddy.
Which one?
Let's see.
No, I don't think that's very good.
Oh, I do. I like it. Here, this is a good one of Grandma.
Oh, yes, that's sweet. And Maggie?
Where is
she, anyway?
I don't know. This one wouldn't have been bad, but my eyes are closed.
Well, that's it. Oh, no. Here's one more. I thought they were all good, considering the fact that nobody ever wants their picture taken.
Oh,
you're always yelling, no, don't take me. My hair looks terrible. Then when I bring pictures home, you want to know why you weren't in more of them.
I didn't say that.
You will. Somebody will.
Aunt
Maggie, I got the pictures.
Where have you been? I've been calling and calling.
I took that last box of Christmas tree trimmings to the attic.
Oh.
It's been standing in the hall for a week.
Debbie, I have asked you a dozen times to take that box
Never mind that. Let Aunt Maggie see the pictures.
Oh, the pictures.
Yes.
You got them back.
Yes, and they're just wonderful of you, Aunt Maggie. Here, look at this one with Bob's mother and father. Isn't that good?
Well, it's very good of them.
Oh, I like that one. It's good of all of you, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, here's one of you with Uncle George, Aunt Maggie.
And here's another with Debbie. Good of both of you. Oh, look at this frightful one of me. Isn't that terrible?
Oh, it's good.
I look fat.
No, you don't.
I do. I look fat. Well, I've got to diet.
I don't think any of them are very good of me.
What's the matter with all of you? These are great pictures.
Well, I don't think they're great, dear. I look fat.
And I don't like my hair.
I look old.
Oh, that's a lot of nonsense.
You don't.
I
do. I look old.
Oh, Aunt Maggie, look at this one. I look very pretty. The blue suit came out nicely. Your hair looks wonderful. You're smiling. It's very pretty. Mm. I think you should get an enlargement of this.
No, I certainly will not get it enlarged. I don't like it at all.
Well, I do. Don't you, dear?
I did.
Mom, which one do you think is best of me? Which one should I give to Clark?
Oh, I don't know. When he comes over, why don't you show him all of them and let him pick out the one he wants.
Mm.
Aunt Maggie, here's one of you and Maynard sitting on the window seat.
Oh,
now, you've got to like that one.
Oh, Aunt Maggie. Oh, this is going to be perfect. This is perfect.
Very good of Maynard.
It's good of you, too.
Yes.
Oh, boy, you're all so fussy. It's the way you look.
This is the way I look?
Yes. Well, what's wrong with it? Looks just like you.
Well, I must say, I always hope I look better than this.
Aunt Maggie, maybe it's the color. You know, some of them are a little too green.
Oh.
The blue is a little too blue, and the red's a little too red.
Well, wait a minute. I thought the color turned out pretty well for a change.
Oh.
In fact, as I said before, I think in general these pictures are all good. They're wonderful of Mother and Dad, and Mother always says she never gets a decent picture of herself.
Well, she'll certainly like these, I hope. We'll have to get copies and send them some, won't we?
Wait a minute, I got a better idea.
What?
Let's drive over there after dinner. It's only an hour. We'll show them the pictures, stay about an hour, and be home before midnight.
Oh, yes. Your mother's always so anxious to see how they turn out. She can use that one of the two of them on her next year's Christmas card.
I'll make a list of who wants what and how many copies they want.
But Clark is coming over tonight. If you take the pictures, how can I show them to him?
Well, you can show him tomorrow, can't you, Debbie? Did you write to Graham and Grandpa and thank them for that lovely house coat they gave you?
Write to them?
Yes.
They were here. I thanked them then.
Debbie, I've tried to bring you up to write notes to people when they give you a gift. Now, I don't care whether they were here and you thanked them then. I asked you to write a nice thank you letter to them. And since you didn't, you can go with us tonight and explain in person to Grandma why you haven't written.
Oh, for Pete's sake, honey. Mother doesn't care whether Debbie writes or not.
Why don't you ever back me up?
Huh?
Anyhow, your mother would love to get a nice letter from Debbie. Not just a thank you very much, how are you letter, but a nice, chatty, newsy letter.
Newsy? They were just here. What kind of news do I have?
Look, can we do one thing around here without getting into a hassle? Now, come on, let's have dinner. Then we're driving over to Lanesboro to show the folks the pictures.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Come on, where is everybody? I got the car on, I warmed it up, I've been honking and honking.
Dear, I cannot find the pictures.
Can't find them?
Can't find them. There's no point in driving over to see your folks, there's no point in showing them the pictures. We don't have them.
Well, I picked them up and put them back in the photo envelopes and left them on the dining room buffet.
They are not here now. Debbie, instead of sitting there pouting, would you get up and help us look?
I'm not pouting.
Yeah, sure, and you get that look off your face at once.
I had to cancel my date with Clark, and now he's mad.
Did you tell him it's because I asked you to write a letter to your grandmother and you didn't do it?
Well, no, I wouldn't tell him anything as childish.
Debbie, you have to learn to do things you're told to
do. I don't like being told to do things.
Will you both please find those snapshots? Well, Aunt Maggie.
I have the snapshots. I had them upstairs.
Oh, well, fine, Aunt Maggie. Come on, get your coat on. Let's go.
Well, no, I don't think I'll go.
Oh, why not?
Don't think I'll go. Here are the pictures.
Hey, May, why aren't you going? It'd be a nice ride.
No.
Why not? We don't want to go and leave you here alone.
Because I will just have a quarrel with your mother.
Why should you have a quarrel with Mother?
Well, I'm fine at Christmas time. Now, look, she's your sister. She'll be very disappointed if you aren't with us.
No, she won't be disappointed at all. She's going to be good and mad.
Why?
Because I have cut myself off the pictures I'm on, and I cut up the negatives of those two.
What?
You cut yourself off the pictures?
Yes, I did. I'm not going to have anybody sending out pictures of me looking like that.
But they were good of you. Yeah. They were excellent.
Well, I didn't think so. My neck looked terrible. Well, I'm going back up to my room and read. I'll see you tomorrow.
Aunt Maggie.
No, leave her alone.
Well, she doesn't or didn't look terrible on those pictures.
Well, she certainly has hacked them up. She's cut herself off all the ones she was on. No point in driving over to see Mother. It'll start a family squabble if I tell her.
What will you tell her when she does ask about the pictures, which she will, since you said we were coming over tonight with them?
Now, there's one here with just Mother and Dad. I'll say the rest with Aunt Maggie didn't turn out. Sometimes a little white lie saves a lot of black hours.
Well, it probably doesn't matter. Your mother probably wouldn't have liked herself on the pictures anyway.
But I think it's terrible for Aunt Maggie to just take the pictures and cut them up.
I do, too. To tell you the truth, it really burns me up. I mean, she had a lot of nerve. They weren't her pictures.
Dear, she thought she looked old.
She didn't look old. She looked fine. She looked just like herself. In fact, if anything, they were rather flattering.
Dear. Well, she didn't think so. Well, that's probably your mother worried because we're not there yet. What'll I tell her?
Just say we can't come after all. Make up some excuse.
Oh, you get it. You make up the excuse.
Hello? Maynard? Yes, she is. She's upstairs.
That's Maynard telling her to come on over. We'll play some bridge.
Maynard, why don't you come over and play some bridge? Fine. Sure, I'll tell her. I'll see you in a couple of minutes. And Maggie, Maynard's coming over. Come on down. We're not going to Lanesboro. Let's play some bridge. Aunt Maggie?
Yes, I heard you. Maynard called.
Yeah, and guess what he said? He said, is my girl there?
Oh. His girl. Oh, I'll be right down. I just want to fix my hair.
Did Maynard really say that?
Honey, as I said, a little white lie sometimes saves a lot of dark hours.
You're cute.
Come on, put up the bridge table.
Yeah.
Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Dan Rolon, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I'm a teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle, kick.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Hurry up, Mommy. You can see the seal.
Oh, looks like we got here just in time.
They look so shiny.
Now, let's see. Your grandfather should be around here somewhere.
Look at that one. He's got whiskers just like Charlie.
Oh, good heavens. That piece of fish he's eating is almost as big as Charlie.
Hello, Emily.
Oh, Robert. How are you?
Oh, a little chilled. And how are you, Jennifer?
Oh, Grandpa, aren't the seals beautiful?
Yes, I suppose they are.
Do you want to see the polar bears, Jennifer?
Where's the baby gorilla?
I think they have him inside. It's kind of cold out here for gorillas and grandfather.
Oh, Robert, come on. Let's go in the birdhouse. It's always warm in there.
How are you feeling, Emily?
Oh, I'm fine, Robert. Say, that was a very nice New Year's Day party at River Run.
I don't think Caroline would believe the New Year had begun if she didn't have her party.
Jennifer, here's the birdhouse.
Mommy, the polar bears are swimming in the ice water and sitting on the ice.
Ooh, let's get inside.
Yes, let's.
Look at all the colors. Look at that one.
Oh, you go look, honey. I think your grandfather and I will sit right here on the bench.
It's just like the jungle.
Well, you sure you won't join Jennifer and me for lunch?
No, thank you, Robert. I'm having lunch with Angela.
Both more than welcome.
Well, Angela doesn't usually have that much time for lunch. We're meeting someplace near the hospital.
You know, I certainly was pleased with the article Lynn wrote about Jennifer's accident.
Yes. Yes, Jason hopes that it will be helpful if anything like that ever happens to someone else.
Just knowing that someone can be revived after such an accident is... Well, I think, Dr. Gonzalez, it was quite remarkable.
Jason says Caroline wants to thank him in some way.
If she can find a way to do it, and if I know Caroline, she will find it.
You certainly were lucky, Robert, in finding Caroline, I mean.
Yes, Emily. And many lonely years after Jason's mother died. I don't know, being a widower is a terrible thing. You feel as though half of you has died.
So, madame, is this the table satisfactory?
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm expecting someone shortly.
Would you like to order a drink?
No, thank you. Oh, here she is.
Oh, I saw you coming in, so I know I'm not late.
How is the zoo?
Noisy and fun.
And you, madame, would you like a drink?
Oh, no, thank you. Just tomato juice, please. I'll have the same.
And here are the menus.
Oh, thank you.
The special is veal parmesan.
Thank you.
Well, how does it feel to be back in your own apartment again? Very quiet. And I suppose I better enjoy it while I can.
Why?
Well, if you and Jason take that trip to Hawaii...
We haven't set the date for it yet.
Well, I thought Jason was so anxious to go.
Well, yes, he is, but... Well, we just can't rush off like that.
Oh, with weather like this, I think you'd welcome a trip to a tropical island.
Angela, I'm seeing Dr. Szabo this afternoon.
You are? At last! Oh, Emily!
Yes, I thought the
time... Oh, so did I. I was just about ready to give up on the mysterious Dr. Szabo. I was sure he didn't even exist.
Oh, well, I'm sure he does.
You know, I was going to read the riot act to Marsh this afternoon.
What for?
For letting Dr. Szabo put him off so long. I couldn't understand it, Emily. You know, I was even beginning to think that Marsh and Jason even had maybe heard from him and for some reason hadn't told you.
You thought that?
It's been so long since they called him in on your case.
Oh.
Well, maybe there was some good reason for the delay.
Maybe there was.
So, Marsh finally made the appointment for you. Or maybe Szabo called him.
Angela, when did Dr. Szabo consult with Marsh?
I just figured it out.
What do you mean?
Well, Joe Gonzalez and I were having coffee, and I was wondering why it was taking so long.
You and Joe were talking about it?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think Marsh saw Dr. Szabo right before Thanksgiving.
That long ago?
Well, it probably proves what Marsh has been saying.
What's that?
That if there were anything really seriously wrong with you, Dr. Szabo would have gotten right back to him.
Lady like to have?
Well, Jennifer, would you like a Shirley Temple?
Just ginger ale, please.
Oh, very well. Right away, sir.
My, it's quiet in here, Grandfather.
Oh, yes, yes, it is.
And there aren't many ladies.
A deplorable condition.
Why do you come here?
Well, I'm a member. It's a club, and only members or their guests can eat here.
Oh, I see. What else do you do?
Do?
In the club. At schools we have a stamp club. And a dance club and a singing club.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Well, we meet and we eat.
That's all?
We have parties sometimes.
I see.
You know, this is one of Chicago's oldest clubs.
Oh, that explains it.
I'm sure it does.
Everybody's so old, they've forgotten what the club was supposed to be for.
Yes, sir, the young lady's ginger ale and your Manhattan. Would you care to order now, Mr. Carter?
You can just leave the menu.
Yes, sir, I will be back shortly.
He knows your name, Grandpa.
Well, that's because I've been here so often.
What's his name?
I don't know, Jennifer.
Oh.
Well, what would you like to order?
A club sandwich, please.
Isn't that kind of big for you?
No, it isn't, Grandpa. I eat sideways.
Oh, Dr. Foster?
Yes. Hello, Angela.
I just had lunch with Emily.
You did?
Could we go into your office?
Ah, you're trusting me now?
Oh, haven't I always?
Well, I don't know. There was a time.
Well, it wasn't because I didn't trust you, Marsh. It was only because I thought Ginger might misunderstand.
Yes, I know, I know.
Things are better at home now?
Oh, some things are.
How's Betsy?
Still troubled. Ginger's talking about sending her away to school.
Oh, any special reason?
Oh, I think Ginger just wants to make sure Betsy meets the right people and makes the right connections.
Uh-huh. What kind of a school is it?
I think it's what used to be called a finishing school.
Well, she gets very good grades, doesn't she?
Yes, yes. She's got to start thinking about college.
You know, I thought there was a chance she might be interested in medicine.
Hmm. I wonder if Ginger knows that.
You think it might make a difference?
Yes, but I'm not sure which way.
Anyway, about Emily.
Yes, is she all right?
Yes, and I'm so glad she's finally seeing Dr. Szabo.
What did you say?
Emily has an appointment with Dr. Szabo this afternoon. Well, you made it for her, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. I just didn't know it was going to be so soon.
Oh, it's taken an awfully long time, but I guess it's all right. After all, Emily has had her hands full with taking care of Jennifer.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
And I know Dr. Szabo must be terribly busy. But don't you think he could have responded a little faster?
I suppose so.
When you realize how most people worry about themselves, they really are entitled to a quick response from the medical profession.
And to Hold has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.